Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I didn't plan on doing this morning, but this occurs to me. You guys have been sitting too long. We always stand for the gospel lesson, and without having one, you've been sitting for a long time. Let's stand up. You've been sitting there, just sitting. Since we're standing, I do want to read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 15, not the whole chapter, but I want us to hear this. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the what? Of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the third scriptures. You can be seated. You needed that, didn't you? You needed to stand. I want to admit to something here this morning. Easter is one of the hardest Sundays to preach in the church year. You've heard it before. Every Easter, it's the same text, right? That Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. What am I going to say that you don't know? Christ has risen from the dead. It's the promise of the gospel. It's the hope of the Christian faith. It's this entire chapter. It was a long reading. Thank you, Mandy. It's a long reading, but I want us to look at this chapter to get the idea that this might be the most important chapter of the Bible. In fact, St. Paul says so himself. He says, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then what? Your faith is in vain. If Christ is not risen from the dead, you can go home right now. If Christ is not risen from the dead, you can sleep in every Sunday morning for the rest of your life. By the way, some people do sleep in every Sunday morning. They're living as if Christ is not risen from the dead. But Paul makes it very clear. If Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then all the other stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that Samson won that battle. It doesn't matter that Noah did what he did, that Moses did what he did. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that God called Abraham. If Christ isn't risen from the dead, then what? You're born, you live, you die. He literally says in the text, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, let us eat and drink, for we die tomorrow. The modern world calls that YOLO, right? Christ isn't risen from the dead, YOLO. Have a nice time. We'll plant you later. Right? But Paul says this, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then nothing matters. But Christ is risen from the dead. Right? Christ is risen from the dead. And that's what he's going to talk about, as I said with the kids, all four Gospels say Christ is risen from the dead over and over again in the book of Acts. St. Peter preaches it. Christ whom you crucified, he says to the folks standing around, has risen from the dead. And so it gets preached over and over again. But 1 Corinthians 15, this is the resurrection chapter. When was the last time you heard 1 Corinthians 15 read? At a funeral. We don't read the whole chapter at a funeral. It's a long chapter. But almost every Christian funeral, part of this chapter will be read. Why do we read it at a funeral? We're standing there with the dead body of our loved one. Someone we miss. Someone we grieve over. Someone we mourn. And people want to say to me, Pastor, where's my mom? Where's my grandma? What's the answer? And she's with the Lord. Because that sounds nice? No, because it's true. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 15 is maybe the most important chapter of the Bible because it lets us know that it matters. It matters what you believe, how you live, who you follow, right? It matters. St. Paul is going to say, for 58 verses, that our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and rose again, not as a historical fact, but as the guarantee of your salvation. I love what he says in verse 3. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. What kind of importance? First importance. First importance. That means that this chapter is more important than the record of the Atlanta Braves. I know, shocking, right? It's more important than the NASCAR race this afternoon. It's more important than the NFL draft. I passed on to you, brothers and sisters, because this is of first importance. First importance, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised. That's the simple gospel right there. He died for your sins, he was buried, he rose again. I want us to notice this. Those are three phrases, and Paul twice says in accordance with the scriptures. Did you notice that? Christ died in accordance with the scriptures, he was buried, and he was raised in accordance with the scriptures. In accordance with the scriptures, Paul is saying the entire Bible was about Jesus. Isaiah, Micah, Psalms, Jonah, and the whale, that was about Jesus and his resurrection, his death and his resurrection. Now, I'm going to say, okay, Pastor, well, I get it. You're a pastor. You're going to say that Christ rose from the dead. Would you like to know if that's true or not, right? So St. Paul says this. If this is of first importance, then we need to know, is it true or not? And he says, here's a thing for you. I got some witnesses. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and how do I know this? He appeared to women at the tomb. And those women ran and told the men. And what did the men do? Refused to believe the women. So the women had to tell more men, right? No, Jesus appeared to those men. And Jesus appeared to Peter and to John. He appeared to the 10. One time he appeared when Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas gave that rousing statement of faith, I won't believe it till I see it myself. Maybe he was from Missouri, I don't know. But he did. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus appeared to the Emmaus travelers. Jesus appeared with 500 disciples one time at the same time. Paul says he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. It's been seen. Now, critics of the faith say it was mass hysteria. People believe in the resurrection because they're afraid to die. Well, if it was mass hysteria, it was a mass of people, right? It wasn't one people being bonkers. It was a bunch of people being bonkers, right? Hundreds of people say, we saw Jesus. And this is the part I love. The Roman Empire said, if you don't stop preaching Jesus, we will kill you. And what did they say? You can kill us, but we saw it. Right? If it was made up, if somebody said to me, you have to quit rooting for the Washington Redskins, I would say, if you're threatening my life, I will root for someone else. Not the Dallas Cowboys for sure, but I could root for somebody else. If the Panthers were any good, that would be helpful. But if it's just something like that, you'd say, at the cost of my life, I'll change. But they're saying, we can't deny the truth. I saw Jesus alive from the dead. That's important. There were witnesses. And so St. Paul is actually going to start to engage the discussion with them. He's going to say that there are some people in the church itself who are saying there's no such thing as the resurrection. And Paul brings this up. He says, if there's no resurrection at all, then Jesus isn't raised. Right? And he says, if Jesus isn't raised, your faith is futile, but Jesus is raised, so your faith isn't futile, and there is a resurrection. He's engaging an argument. Don't say, because sometimes people say, well, I like to be a Christian on Sunday morning, but I don't believe in life after death. Well, wait a minute. If there's no life after death, you don't have to be a Christian on Sunday morning at all. But if there is life after death, you should be a Christian all the days. Right? This funny thing, Paul says this, and a lot of times people ask me this. I'm a pastor. People send me questions like this. What does it mean when Paul says baptism for the dead? I want to be clear, that's the only place in the whole Bible that's ever said. That means that Paul's not affirming it. He's using it as an example. What is Paul saying? He's not saying you should do it. He's saying that people do that, so that shows that they believe in life after death. Here's the crazy thing. Most days, many people say, I don't believe in life after death. But you know what they always say at the funeral? He's in a better place. You ever hear that? That's an inconsistency. We need to point that stuff out. Here's the fun thing I know. I know that when atheists die, do you know what people say at the funeral? He's in a better place. Do you get what I'm saying? Somebody who has lived their whole life saying there's no God, there's no eternity, there's no soul, there's no life after death, there's no resurrection of Jesus. When they die, do you know what people want to hear? He's in a better place. They don't want the pastor to say, if this guy is right, there is no other place. And if he's wrong, by the way, he's not in a very good place. That's not the sermon people want you to preach. So if I'm not so sure, I sometimes say, let's not do a church one, right? Let's be clear about that. We have to decide, is there or isn't there? Is there or isn't there life after death? And St. Paul says Christ was raised. He was seen by witnesses. Those witnesses staked their lives for it. And then he winds up this wonderful section. And because people are going to say, verse 35, well, if there is a resurrection, how are the dead raised? And this is what I love. It is important to know this practical reality. If Jesus rose from the dead, then everyone here is an immortal being. Did you know that? Your body will pass away, but you are an immortal being. And people will say, what happens when I die, right? That's where it gets to. What happens when I die? And St. Paul says this, the resurrection is similar to this life, but surpasses it. I want us to get that. It is similar and it surpasses it. There's an earthly body, there's a spiritual body. I want you to get this. You will have a body. Every human being is both body and soul. Do you know what you're going to be in eternity? A body and a soul. What kind of body? This is the good part. An immortal one. This body right here breaks down. This body right here loses some of its hair, and the ones that stay are getting gray. That's what this body does. That body lives forever. And that's why St. Paul says it is sown when we're buried. It's sown perishable, but raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. I want us to get this. You will always be you. You will always be you. Your loved ones who are with the Lord, they are themselves. When you die and meet them, you will know them, and they will know you. It's actually, we say this all the time, it's a glad reunion, isn't it? It's a reunion. You will be you, and you will be you forever. When you die, we plant your body out in the backyard, but your soul lives on. And when the Lord Jesus comes again, he will give you a new body. The Bible has many promises about this. Some of you have heard this, me preach this many times. Isaiah chapter 25, a beautiful chapter from the Old Testament about the resurrection. It says that in heaven we will eat rich foods. You've heard me say this before, right? Rich foods. Do you know what the Hebrew for rich is? Fatty. Isn't that awesome? Isaiah 25 says in heaven there are fatty foods. And I think I can say this living in this part of the country. That means that heaven is full of southern cooking. I want us to know that. Isaiah 25. I sometimes call that the fried chicken chapter. I'm not sure if that's the right way to say it or not. But anyway. But St. Paul says this. Everybody who dies will be raised when Christ comes back. What about some people? Not everybody dies. When the Lord comes back, there are people on this earth. And he says, so we will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. If you are alive when the Lord Jesus comes back, and I think many of you will be, if you're alive when the Lord Jesus Christ, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and we shall be changed. That's a good day, isn't it? That's a good day. I don't know that day. The Bible calls it the last day. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord. It never tells us when. When that happens, then shall come to pass, he says, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Over and over and over. Scripture is fulfilled. Scripture is fulfilled. I want us to get this. Easter Sunday is a great Sunday. I never know if I'm adequate to the task of preaching it, but I wanted to share that much with you. I love the way the chapter ends. All the things that he said, and I couldn't even get to all of it, but here's this. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Therefore means in view of that, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I love this. Be steadfast and immovable. The world right now is pushing on people of faith. And you know what you're going to do? You're not going to budge. And you know why you're not going to budge? Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.